Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's talk about taste. That is, the usual sense of that word is what you do with your mouth. But what I want to look at is not the usual sense of the word, but the other sense of the word. What I'm referring to is the use of the word as in the magazine title, Taste of Home, or in the phrase, A Taste of Life. It is, as dictionary.com says, having an experience or a slight experience of something. Today we celebrate a few different tastes, or lack thereof. For one thing, some of our youth are graduating, whether from high school or from college. And we also have with us this morning a confirmand who has completed adult instruction. The high school or college age youth have had a few years under their belt. They've had some experience, but they have more to come. So they've had a taste of life. And so also our adult instruction student who has completed it, The student who has completed adult instruction has had a taste of what it is to be a Lutheran Christian. And yet there is more to come. So it was a taste, a slight experience, and there is more yet to come. These are both uses of the word taste, which we would hope would not have an end. We hope that there would be a continuation of these things, that our high school students might continue to further their studies, perhaps in college or going out and having an occupation. And if they are graduating from college, that they would go and serve through an occupation. In either case, hopefully in such a way as to use the wisdom gained to serve their neighbors in love. And so also with our adult instruction student, we would hope that they would come and continue to hear the word with us as a dear sister in Christ. However, there is a taste that we're hearing about this morning that we hope not to have, the taste of death. Among the other things that Jesus talks about in our gospel text this morning, he mentions the taste of death, or at least sort of. Jesus says, if any of you keeps my word, he will never see death. But the Jews who are speaking with him quote him as saying, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. But looking at the commentaries, there is no distinction to be made between seeing death and tasting death. Either one is an experience of death that we don't care to have. We turn to our text to learn a little bit more about the context of this phrase. The situation in which we find this statement being made is the Jews confronting Jesus about whether or not he has a demon. This is, as the notes say, a countercharge against Jesus. That is, the charge had already been made against him, and now they were trying to reverse it. A few verses before our text begins, in verse 44 of chapter 8, Jesus had said, "You are of your father the devil." In trying to reverse this statement and put the focus back on Jesus then, they accused him of having a demon. Now, one might question at this point whether the Jews are honestly trying to determine if Jesus was from God or from the devil. But this is quite clearly not the case. To accuse someone of operating under a demon is much more than to witness as to what they are doing, to witness what they are speaking, and to witness what they are doing. These Jews had had several occasions already in John's recorded gospel to see what Jesus would do and to hear what Jesus would say. And so it was with great animosity and without anything for him that they come to Jesus and accuse him of having this demon. Have you ever accused the Word of God of being the Word of someone else? Did you ever think a representative of God was speaking against God? If so, did you first make certain that you were in alignment with God's Word? After all, there is a lot that the Word of God has to say, and not all of it is easy for us to hear. It is all good, most certainly, but that did not stop God's representatives from being tortured and in some cases being put to death for their faith and for speaking God's word. Just as it is sometimes pleasant to receive a taste of life, like making new friends or having new experiences, and sometimes less pleasant, having a loved one pass away or being put into a position that is not able to be escaped easily. So it is with being a Christian. There are blessings and there are challenging times. There are most certainly the blessings and joys of baptisms, confirmations, weddings, and even potlucks. But there are also the challenging times, the times where we bear our crosses, the times when life tests your faith. You see, it's easy to say that I am a Christian when things are going easily, or at least it's easier to say that I'm a Christian when things are going easy. But when life starts turning around and becomes harder, it becomes harder to make that good confession. It is less easy to say that you believe God's word and to live it, especially if you are not in it and keeping it. In such cases, God's word may even sound like someone else's word, since God does not always say to walk the easy way. For example, if you have a favorite or a pet sin that God does not want you to do, it is hard to turn from it. It is not easy. It is a cross to bear. Last week we heard about gossip. We heard about how negatively it affects our neighbors' reputations. And yet, have you turned completely from it? Here's where the world and Satan and his conniving would have you believe that you don't actually have to stop. They would tempt you to believe that God wants you to be happy. And so if it makes you happy to gossip, go ahead and keep doing it. Or that God knows that you can't help but sin, so go ahead and do it. God loves to forgive. But no, God desires that you stop right now. And that is hard. There are many aspects of the Christian life that are hard and can be even for your entire earthly life. Giving up a favorite or pet sin is hard. That's why it's called bearing a cross. And again, Satan would have you to hold on to that favorite sin for any number of reasons. He might want you to think God is loving. He loves you no matter what you do. Or on the flip side, Satan might make you wonder, did God really say that? Or is God's word really that of a demon? Jesus answered those Jews, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory, there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. To these Jews, the word of God sounded so foreign to them that they didn't think it could possibly be God's word. They thought for certain that Jesus had a demon. They argued that their forefather Abraham had died and that the prophets had died. And so it was impossible for what Jesus was saying to be true. But you see, Jesus wasn't talking about tasting physical death. He was talking about tasting eternal death. The Jews gathered around him didn't understand, and nor did they try. They had made up their minds that Jesus was blaspheming against God, and they were out to prove it, and they were about to kill him for it. They'd already made up their minds. Have you already made up your mind about God's word? Granted, there are major themes like law and gospel, and yet the application of these two doctrines is not easy in practice. We can read and study the word of God briefly, but that doesn't help us. Even if we study and meditate on God's word often and frequently, it is a challenge to practice it and live it and keep it. The first president of the LCMS, C.F.W. Walther, wrote that if one could frequently keep these doctrines in the proper perspective and living them in one's life, that person should have a doctorate in theology. That's just how hard it is, and that's just how important it is to keep in God's word that you may keep it. There is one truth, though, that you should always keep at the forefront as you continue to study God's word. that Jesus has paid the price for your sin in its fullness, and you are now God's child. This is how Jesus was able to say that those who believed in him and kept his word would never taste or see death. Jesus alludes to his coming death in the last verses of our text. Jesus said, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." And to this, the Jews again questioned Jesus with malice. "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." In his humility and in his humiliation as a human being on earth, Jesus did not attempt to bring glory to himself. Instead, he kept his Father's word. He kept it by doing the things his Father desired and by going to the cross to pay for the full price of sin, your sin. He paid the entire price of sin that you rightly owe so that you no longer do. And for that, God gave him glory. God glorified him. Through the power of the Holy Spirit sent to you at your baptism, celebrating that Pentecost celebration that we had last week, you have been called to keep Jesus and God's word as well. If you have not been doing so, repent. Repent and know that you are the Son of God. You're a child of God. Jesus was crucified and rose for you. Then keep Jesus' word. Do those things which serve your neighbor. Continue your studies. Continue to find an occupation. Continue to come and hear God's word. And refrain from those things that God says to refrain from. Refrain from following the carnal desires of this world that only lead to death. Live as a child of God. You are no longer under the law, but in grace. And as you live in the grace of Jesus' word, the Spirit will work in you so that you can live in those ways. So that you can further your studies, so that you can love your neighbor, so that you can bring glory to your Father in heaven by your works and your deeds. You have tasted and have seen that the Lord is good through the proclamation of his word. You will taste and see that he is good as you partake of his Son's body and blood in this sacrament at this altar. And as you continue to taste and see it from this time forth and even forevermore, the Spirit will work in you. That you can live as a child of God, the child that you've been called to be. For all this, we give all glory, honor, and thanks to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, your crucified and risen Savior. Amen.